Oh, man, if you're still standing, then do grab yourself a seat. Get comfortable. I'm going to invite Chris to come and share with us. He's going to bring the reading as well as the talk. So I'm going to shuffle to the side slightly to let him squeeze in there. And we're going to pray for ourselves and pray for Chris as he comes to share with us and to continue as we look at this journey of Acts and what it means as a manual for the scattered church. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word that you've given to Chris today. We thank you for what you're speaking to us as a church community right now. And Holy Spirit, we pray that we would be open to hear your voice today. Father, we thank you for the words that you've prepared in Chris's heart and mind. And as he speaks them out, Father, would you speak to our hearts and minds? Would we hear your encouragement and your challenge? We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to continue to lead us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris, as Neil said, and I've been a part of the team here at Christchurch for about 8 years, and it's a treat to be with you this morning from the building. And is it our second week in the building? It's our second week, third week in the building, and it's great to be with you this morning. And thank you to our worship team as well. And I'd love you just to take a second just to post your thanks to our worship team, and not just this team here this morning, but to all the teams and all the people that have been blessing us over the whole of lockdown. Just find a way to say thanks to them, because they've been doing an absolutely amazing job throughout the whole of our lockdown. So as we've said already a little bit this morning, we are in the beginning stages of going through parts of the book of Acts together. And we've called this series The Manual for a Scattered Church. And we want to recognize that this is where we find ourselves right now. We find ourselves through no choice of our own, but just through the reality of our situation, we are a scattered church. And we believe that just like the people of the early church, God wants to use our scattering for his plans and for his purposes. And we believe it's something we really want to speak into during this season. Paul, over the last couple of weeks, has wonderfully just introed the series and given us a real platform to launch from here. And now, as we move through, we want to drop in three key values, three key priorities, three key questions, you could say, I guess, that are going to help inform us as we go through into the next 10 weeks. And we're going to take the next 10 weeks to be journeying with you through Acts. And by very definition, any manual is going to be good at being practical too. And so we want to be careful not to just talk at you for the next 10 weeks. We want to make sure that we're engaging with a practical conversation about what being a scattered church looks like. And so these three things are going to help us with that. So over the next 10 weeks, we're going to look at these three things. The first one is that we're going to ask the question, how are we being led by the Holy Spirit? How are we being led by the Holy Spirit? Number two, how do we take greater ownership for our own discipleship journey? And number three, how do we have more confidence in Jesus? How do we have more confidence in Jesus? And we're going to come back to that in a minute. Today, we're going to be based in Acts 4 predominantly. So if you've got a Bible, I really encourage you to grab it, get it ready, and turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But before any of that, do any of you remember the TV game show, The Weakest Link? Do any of you guys remember The Weakest Link? Okay, we've got a few people in the room who remember The Weakest Link. Do you remember that TV show? It was hosted by Anne Robinson. Some of our guys in the room probably aren't even old enough to remember it. But if you don't know it, let me just recap what it was all about. The Weakest Link was a game show that involved 9 contestants who had to take rounds of 3-minute questions of general knowledge. And they would build up a bank of money, and they could have a maximum of £1,000 per round, with the opportunity to win potentially £10,000 at the end of it. But at the end of each round, the contestants would have this board down sort of on their thing, and they would get a pen out and they would write on this board the name of the person who they thought was the weakest link of the round, and the person with the most votes would disappear without anything, and that would be essentially the game show. The last person standing would win whatever money they had won. I was wondering this morning and over the course of this week as I've been preparing, have you ever felt like a weak link? Have you ever felt ill-equipped or unprepared or out of your depth or just not quite ready? Have you ever felt out of place? Have you ever felt like a weak link? There are plenty of times in my own life where I've felt like that, and I was kind of thinking about, well, what could I talk about in this context? How could I explain when I felt like a bit of a weak link in my own life? And this one thing just kept coming back to my mind. And there are plenty of times, let me tell you, when that could have been true in my life. But there was this one particular summer. It was a university summer, so I had plenty of time. There's one particular summer where I took this job to work for this amazing charity, and they were an amazing charity, and they provided summer kind of play spaces and trip events for particularly disadvantaged and troubled young people and children. And so in this particular summer, I was a part of a team who particularly focused on working with young teens. So I was working with people like 12, 13, 14 years old. And our job was to take these guys out on trips that they would never have really had the opportunity to do otherwise. And there were some really good good trips that we went on. And there were some really, really good days that were a part of that week or two. But there were also some very, very bad and hard days and hard weeks. And these two particular days came back into my memory. I remember this one day I had to try and break up this fight between two kids who really, really, really didn't get on with each other. And given my lack of own physical strength, I felt a bit like a weak link on that occasion. And there were two particular days that struck me in my memory. The first day was caving day. Now, I don't know what you feel about caving. How do you feel about caving? In the room, we've got some mixed responses. Neil's not a caver, so I'm really not into caving. Okay, a small, dark, enclosed spaces with the potential to get stuck and never come out again really, really don't do well for me. So I don't like caving, and I remember just being absolutely sure that I was going to place myself at the back of the line. I did not want to be anywhere in the middle. I didn't want to be stuck between someone going ahead and being stuck with someone behind me. I just wanted to make sure I was at the end so that I could always just get out backwards if I had the opportunity to. And remember, I'm a leader of this team. I'm one of the leaders, and caving really freaks me out. And so it didn't go very well. I just made sure I was at the back, and I kind of pretended that I was helping this kid in front of me. And actually, I was really terrified and wanted to go back myself. And then the second day was even worse than caving, because the second day was abseiling day. And if you know me, how do you feel about abseiling? Everyone's okay with abseiling. Fine. I am not good with heights, if you didn't know that about me. I'm not very good with heights. And so the abseiling day was actually the worst day of all. So remember, I'm a leader of this team, and my job is to encourage and I guess be a role model to these young people as they face their fear by diving backwards off a cliff. And essentially what happened was I just couldn't do it. I freaked out so much. I got to the top. I think I even had my harness on and everything. I got to the top and I decided I wasn't going to do it, and I absolutely bottled it. And I absolutely felt in that moment like I was a totally weak link of the team, a weak link in the whole thing, and I was supposed to be a leader. In our reading today, we find three people who you could, in the perceptions of the people around them, call a weak link. They were culturally not positioned in a position of strength. We find three people, and we'll discover more about them in a second, but please hear this. If you just don't hear anything else today, please hear this. A weak link has never stopped God, ever. A weak link has never stopped God, and it won't stop you if you feel like you are in that position today. The context for our reading today in Acts chapter 4 comes just one chapter earlier in Acts chapter 3. And we find these two friends of Jesus, Peter and John, and they're on their way in Acts chapter 3 to pray at the temple. And they meet a lame man who had been carried out to beg for money for the people who were going past him. Now, what we find out about this man is that he was lame, and he'd been lame since he'd been born, and he was carried out every single day to be placed there so that he could beg for money. So he asked the Peter and John for money, And Peter and John actually don't give him money. They give him the thing that he probably had no expectation. It wasn't even on his mind, I'm pretty sure, that he actually gets healed and he is able to stand. And by the end of it, he's walking. And so Peter takes his opportunity because, of course, all the people know this man because he's put out every single day. They know him. They know his condition. They never expected to see him in the way that they now see him. And so all the people gather around and they're flocking around and they go to Peter and John, and Peter sees this. He takes his opportunity to preach the gospel, to share the message of hope, and he starts speaking to them. And now we find ourselves here in Acts chapter 4, and we're going to read just a few verses from Acts chapter 4. So if you've got your Bible, grab it. We're going to go from verse 1. It says this: "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John because it was evening, and they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.' And when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing that they could say." Today, the title of my message is "The Weakest Link." The weakest link. So the religious leaders at the beginning of our passage today they're freaking out, basically. They're freaking out because these men are teaching in public, and not only that, but they're shouting about Jesus and the resurrection of the dead and the miracle. And so they lock him up. They lock them up for the night, and they come back the next day to ask them questions. And we only get one question that they asked in our Bible. And the question is this: "By what power or name did you do this?" This is what they ask Peter and John. "By what power or name did you do this?" And in the original Greek, there's this fascinating phrase that comes right at the end of this question that, for whatever reason in the English, we don't pick it up. It doesn't pick it up in the same way. And right at the end of this question is this phrase, which is actually, it's a really scornful, really derogatory phrase. And it comes with that: "By what power or name did you do this?" It's like, it's this derogatory phrase, like, "You people, why did you do this? How did you do this? You couldn't possibly do that." And what we see here right at the beginning of this interaction between the religious leaders and Peter and John, what we see right at the beginning is that they're trying to essentially put them in their place. They are putting them as the weak people, as the less people, because they are the religious elite. They're the high people. They're the trained people. They're the equipped people culturally. And so they go, like, "By what power or name did you do this?" But it doesn't go quite as planned, because what happens is, and what so often happens, the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit fills Peter up, and in that moment, the conversation and the interaction completely changes. And so the Holy Spirit in verse 8 fills Peter, and what that means is like a complete filling up is what it means. It's like total filling up. Complete filling. It's like you could use it for water sinking a boat, like the water filled the boat completely, or even like a flooding, like the Holy Spirit flooded Peter in this moment, filled him up. And I was wondering, like, what are we full up of today? What are you full up of? Maybe you're full up of a whole load of different things. Maybe you're full up of doubt today. Maybe you're full up of worry, or you're full up of fear. Maybe you're full up of anger or bitterness, or maybe you're full up of disappointment. Maybe you're just full up of the like busyness and the craziness of life right now. Maybe you're just full up of a whole load of different things. And it's okay that that's true. But today, why don't we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us in this same way that Peter got filled, to be filled up completely, to flood us. Holy Spirit, would you come and flood us today? And so Peter goes on and he talks about what's happened. And he says, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you today, that this man stands before you. Now, let's not forget about this man. It's really easy now to focus on Peter and John, but let's not forget about this man who had been healed, this man. I mean, talk about a weak link. Talk about a guy who was like lowest of the chain. A lame man since birth who had been carried out every day to beg for money from passers-by. Every day. Everyone knew him. Everyone knew him. Let's not forget about this man who now stands. Peter says, this man who stands before you now healed. He stands before the religious leaders. This weak, lowly man stands before the religious elite. Don't forget about this man in the story. And it goes on to say that there's nothing they could say about this healing. That he stands before them. There's nothing that they could say. And then we get to verse 13, which is where I just want to spend a little bit of time now. Verse 13. It says this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What happens here in this verse is really key for us today. And we see, I'm aware of four observations that the religious leaders make in this moment. Four observations. What do we have? They saw the courage of Peter and John, number one. They realized that they were unschooled, number two. That they were ordinary, number three, and number four, that they had been with Jesus. Four observations that the religious leaders make in this moment. Four things that are really key for us. Let's start with the first thing, the courage. Other translations would translate this confidence. Okay? Or boldness even. So it's courage, confidence, boldness. When they saw the confidence of Peter and John, and this takes us back to our third practical question that right at the beginning, like how do we have more confidence in Jesus? Well, this confidence or courage or boldness, whatever you want to call it, it's not the kind of confidence that you can just create within yourself. It's not something that you can just muster up and be confident. It's not something you could just switch on at any moment. This is not the human inspired confidence. I know in my experience with God, in my experience of life, there are so many times where I've tried to like flick the confidence switch. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you lacked confidence in a certain situation. It might have even been like a mission opportunity or a witness opportunity, or I don't know what it was. And you're just trying desperately to like flick the confidence switch because you feel so underconfident, so ill-equipped and underprepared and out of your depth. And you just try and flick that switch, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen. And it goes back to the message that Paul spoke to us last week, that for me in these moments, I would be much better just to wait, to be filled, and then to go. To wait, to be filled, and then to go. This kind of courage or confidence or boldness that's talked about here, it's not a brash kind of confidence or a brash kind of arrogance. It's not about that. It's what comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. So when it says that they saw the confidence or the courage of Peter and John, what they're doing is they're bearing witness to the filling of the Holy Spirit upon these people and upon Peter in particular. This is what the confidence means in this context. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. And what strikes me in this is that how much more effective would my life be? Maybe how much even more impactful would my life be if my confidence came from the continuing flooding and infilling of the Holy Spirit in me. And that where I lack it, I would wait to be filled and I would go. That's the confidence. The second thing that they recognize and the religious leaders take note of is that these men are unschooled. This simply means that they realized that Peter and John had not been formally trained in the rabbinic schools of the time. They had not been formally trained. They didn't have any formal training. And this fact would have been culturally impossible for them to get their heads around, particularly given that these men were preaching and teaching in public. Really hard to get their heads around. And now I want you to hear me really clearly now at this point, because I want to say that I am absolutely for training. I am for resourcing. I'm for being equipped properly and formally and all the stuff. I am for that. But a person's lack of that does not in any way disqualify them from God's plans or God's purposes or God's use of you as a human being filled with his spirit on the world. It does not disqualify you in any way, any shape, or any form. The lack of formal training or equipping also isn't a reason to hide behind a lack of belief that God might want to use you. You don't need to look to the professionals or put it all off to the church to do the thing that you were called to do in the first place. Some of us have been putting off the thing that God had called us to do and placing it at the feet of other people because they looked more equipped to do it. And actually, maybe today's God is saying, actually, I've equipped you. I've called you. I've purposed you. I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit and give you confidence that you might go and change the world around you, not lay it at the feet of other people. And so maybe for you, it's time to grab hold of that calling, to grab hold of that sense of purpose and to take it to the next stage with that infilling of the Holy Spirit. They were confident. They were unschooled. Number three, they were ordinary. Just means they thought they were common people. Like they just call common, ordinary people like most of us are, right? And number four, this is key. They recognized that these people had been with Jesus. They noted that these men had been with Jesus. And so this statement right at the end of verse 13, it's like this qualifying statement or qualifying conclusion that the religious leaders get to, and it impacts the framework of our lives entirely. And they saw their confidence and they realized that they weren't trained. They realized they were ordinary, common people. And they noted that these men had been with Jesus. Wouldn't that just be the best testimony of our lives? Wouldn't it just be the most amazing thing that people would note that we had been with Jesus? That they would somehow recognize that we had been with Jesus? There's nothing to disqualify you from the plans and the purposes of God. No matter how weak you feel, no matter how ill-equipped you feel or unprepared you feel, this is all about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I want to end by reading to you a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Absolutely astonishing verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26 says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts in the Lord." Hasn't God always been using the weak things, the weak links? Hasn't God always been using the lowly things and the foolish things and the ordinary? Hasn't he always been doing that? Even creation, he took the dust, he took the dirt of the ground, and he created something beautiful out of it. Hasn't he always been taking those things, the ordinary things, and making them extraordinary? The extra in extraordinary is there for a reason. It's extra. It's added to. And the extra in our case is him. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the extra thing that makes us not just ordinary, but the able to do the extraordinary. And so these two men, these three men even, but these two men, Peter and John, unschooled, ordinary people, full of the Holy Spirit, inspired courage and confidence. They had been with Jesus. And so if you today feel like a weak link, if you feel ill-equipped, out of place, out of depth, unprepared, whatever it is that you feel, it's time to not disqualify yourself from the plans and the purposes of God, because God has always been using people like you and people like me to change and transform the world around us. And I stand before you today as an unschooled, ordinary kind of guy. And so if that's you today, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that he would give you the confidence and the courage to be the person that he has made you to be. So why don't we close by getting ready to worship again. But we're also going to pray. We're going to pray. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Hasn't he always been using the weak things? And so let's take a moment just to pause. We're going to pause together. The worship team are going to just gently begin to play, and then we're going to pray. And these guys will then take us on into the final section of our time together this morning. So just take a minute or so, just a few seconds even, just to be quiet, to pause, to reflect. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are not bound in this moment by our lack of being able to be together physically. Thank you that you can miraculously meet with people this morning, that you can miraculously come and change and transform, that you can restore confidence that's been lost, that you can give strength to weak people, that you can absolutely turn around someone's situation this morning. And I want to pray specifically for anyone for whom this morning that you've been laying the call of God on your life at the feet of someone else because you felt too weak or too unqualified or not good enough to do the thing that God had called you to do. And I want to pray specifically for you now that Holy Spirit, you would come and that you would meet with and fill these amazing people. That you would bring encouragement. That you would bring that confidence and that courage and that boldness. That you would bring that transformation that only you can bring. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that this is not stuff that we can just stir up in ourselves. We can't just muster this up from a human way. This is only something that you can do. And so we invite you to come and do it this morning, now, even in this moment right here, but over the course of the day and the days to come and the weeks to come, that this would be something that you do. And so we bless you. We thank you for what you're doing and for who you are. And we turn all of this stuff, anything that's going on in us right now, we turn it back towards you and back into our time of worship now. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you want to connect with us in any way, then we've got an email address that you can send a prayer request into or whatever it is. And we're going to, I think, pop that up on the screen now. So you can just get in contact with us. If anything's going on for you right now and you want someone to pray for you, then let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to take some time now to worship, and then Neil will come back and wrap things up in a little bit. So let's worship now.